The Gambling Files Podcast, the podcast with zero fucks to give. Hello, welcome to the Gambling Files Podcast. I'm your sponsored by Sporting Tech host, John Bruford. I'm joined by my co-host, my able co-host, my busy executive colleague, Fintan Costello. Fintan, hello.
Hello, John.
Hi, Fintan. Nice to have you here.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Do I sound different?
Not really.
Oh, that's weird.
Did you get a haircut?
No, I'm wearing briefs.
Oh, nice. Nice. Instead of like no underwear, or like you've made the big switch from boxers back to briefs, or like what's the
situation? I was wearing crotchless French knickers for a while.
Okay.
But they chafed, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit cold as well. A bit
cold. Well, also, it's very difficult to find them in anything other than very cheap material.
Oh, and you get that kind of static, kind of like all your hair stands on end.
Oh, you can really, and you can get burns, you know, if you don't have to run very far in them. So I'm certainly not wearing them while running anymore.
Even just a little dart for the bus kind of thing, right?
Seriously. You know, it just takes one upset stomach and that might be too much information. I should put a TMI warning on this podcast
episode. Oh, we've got them all automatically flagged as adult content, so we're all right.
Thank fuck.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things I wanted to bring up.
Go on.
Well, you know, life continues to be complicated. Being an adult continues to be quite annoying.
I know, you'll be an adult every day as well. It's really annoying.
I was watching my son, Joe, who's playing at the weekend, and like watching a seven-year-old play is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Because he's just like totally doing seven-year-old stuff.
Yeah.
And I love that. I mean, it's just like Annie, my oldest, she's 10 and she's like trying to be a grown-up because she recognizes she's older than the other two. But like, you know, I keep saying to her, you just be 10 and I'll do the grown-up stuff.
That's good advice.
She's not having it though. I'm not having it at all.
It's a good sign though. It is part of the grown-up process. So.
Not at 10.
No, they all do that. Yeah. My 10-year-old's just turned 11. And, you know, depending on the day, he's either like too cool for school kind of thing, or, you know, he's definitely an 11-year-old and just wants a cuddle. So it's they flip-flop back and forth at this age.
Hmm. But that wasn't really what I wanted to talk about, I don't think. Although my housing situation remains hilarious. Thanks, Powers Council. I got a press release this morning, and I'm not going to say who it was from.
Ooh.
But I got a press release, and I replied to it, and I haven't actually had a reply to my reply.
Okay.
But this press release, I just read it, and I just thought, oh, you're joking me. And I'm not going to say what company it's for or anything like that, because any publicity is good publicity, apparently. So you're not getting any off me, unless you want to sponsor the podcast, in which case I, for one, welcome our new insect overlords.
Where do you want the tattoo?
But there's a company and they're launching some stuff and it's described in the release as disruptive. And I had to reply to it, to the person that sent it out. And I had to say, I don't mean to sound like a pedant, but can you explain how this is disruptive? Because it sounds, these weren't my exact words. But what I was implying was, this sounds exactly like every other company in the space doing stuff. And it says as well, it's a fresh new approach to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, can you tell me where the fresh new approach is, because I can't see it in the release. And it's say there's a quote from somebody in there as well, and they talk about producing groundbreaking content. And I'm like, could you also explain how the content is groundbreaking? Because like none of that is in there.
So they've just gone through the marketing bullshit dictionary and just started pulling out words, right? Did they put in like AI and machine learning as well, just for shits and giggles, or?
No, I think they must be saving that for the next one.
Got it. I don't think anybody would be bragging about blockchain either lately. So I think that'll be, there'll be less blockchain for the next few months.
Thank fuck. But I am a little bit disappointed that I didn't get a reply because, you know, it's an issue like with press releases. And when you factor SEO into press releases, like press releases will get a certain amount of coverage in trade publications, and they're very often run even with the about this company information on there on different publication websites. You know, I mean, they literally go out as is.
They just copy and paste, yeah.
So there's no SEO benefit generally. But that, it was just like, I understand all these words, but you're not telling me why. You're not telling me how that applies. And I've got to be honest, I find that a little bit frustrating and a little bit surprising, because it's 2022. But yeah, what do I know? I'm just the person that is expected to run that press release.
Yeah, John. Yeah, John, with your thinking and your ethics and your journalistic integrity.
Just well, copy I've got and to, I'm going to have to pull you up on the integrity and the ethics part. What was the first one?
Can't remember.
I think I was thinking. But yeah, it's always when you get a release that is fresh or informative. See, it doesn't actually matter if press releases are long, if they've got all the right information in.
Hmm.
You know, in the digital age, the length of a press release is far less important than it used to be. And we have more tools to play with then, and we can rewrite it, et cetera, et cetera. If you send out a 4-paragraph press release, there's not a lot you can do with that in terms of rewriting. Not at speed anyway.
Yeah.
So give us the tools. But yeah, like I say, what the fuck do I know? So anybody out there who's sending out press releases, well, you know, have a think.
Up your game.
Up my what?
Up your game.
Oh, sorry, I totally misheard that. I thought it was some kind of Irish slur. So there was this. I wanted to share a story that I don't believe I've shared before, right? Because you know, you probably saw it maybe about a month ago. Coolio died.
Yes, I did.
And all these stories came out about what a lovely bloke he was.
Okay.
And like totally down to earth. And I saw a brilliant, brilliant video from a bunch of students. Well, they were students at the time it was filmed. And he'd gone to their house like after some event or something and just, you know, sat down, had a smoke with them. And they were just, somebody dug out a guitar and they were jamming Gangsta's Paradise with Coolio in their living room.
Nice.
Which I think was just tremendous.
Yeah.
But I interviewed Coolio. It was a long time ago. It was 23 years ago, something like that. Probably 20 years ago.
So at the height of his fame then?
No. It was after that. So he started an acting career post sort of Dangerous Minds time. Mm. And he was in some interesting stuff. He was in some really bad stuff. And he was really watchable, but he was playing a heavy in a movie that I cannot remember the name of for the life of me. I'm going to have to try and find it while we're talking. And he was very good. And the movie was all right. It wasn't great, but it had a fantastic finale. I mean, really, really good finale.
Hmm.
Where there was a fight. This is going to sound a little bit bonkers. I'm just trying to find it. There was a fight on a, you know, when you see a skyscraper being built,
yep,
and they use a crane to take up those huge pieces of glass.
Yep.
The fight was on a crane on one of those huge pieces of glass.
Nice. That's some good balance.
It was pretty bonkers. It was a lot of fun. I mean, the movie wasn't necessarily worth it for that, but it was pretty decent. I'm just trying to find a movie and I can't find it. So that might take me a while. But anyway,
can't have been in that many movies, can he?
Oh, he was in quite a lot. He was in, God, he was in 11 in 2003 alone.
Oh, wow, okay.
I mean, there's a fair few where he's played himself, but, you know, he did quite a few movies. But it's finding the right one, you know. I don't want to mislead our listeners. So I had to do a phone interview with him for this movie. So I just, you know, phoned up, and he was in a hotel somewhere. It was like getting fucking blood out of a stone. I'm not kidding you. He was just not giving me anything. Nothing. I mean, I was like, Jesus Christ, how do I get an answer out of this? He just kept answering with the same sentence. He would just be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all good, dog.
I'd love to be that cool.
I mean, but I'm like, you know, it's a great line, but it's not going to help me fill the magazine that I was doing. So after a little while of doing this, he just suddenly says, and not in an English accent, but he suddenly says, could you just excuse me for a second? I need to take care of something, right? And he pops the phone down on the side, and then I just heard him going off at somebody. And I mean going off at somebody. I heard him threaten to bust a cap in their ass. For real. Which, you know, that was one of my life's great pleasures, just hearing that expression used authentically.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And then he comes back to the phone and he goes, I'm really sorry about that. I'm doing this press tour. My brother's here and his bitch is with him, and they're doing my melanin, basically. But I think I've sorted that out now. And then he gave me an absolutely lovely interview.
Wow.
But I remember, like, a few years, when you start running long distances, you kind of, some days you need sort of little tricks to get you through.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember when I was up doing sort of only about 24 miles or so, because I always would overtrain for a marathon. I would have little mantras just to distract myself. Because it's like when you get a craving, you know, it's like you think when you get that craving, you think, shit, oh my God, it's going to be like this forever now. When in fact, the craving is usually gone in 30 seconds.
Yep.
And it's the same with a shit patch when you're running generally. It's like if you can just get yourself through that without stopping, you know, you'd be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up adopting It's All Good, Dog as a running mantra.
Nice.
Said in the style of Coolio, so it was like, It's All Good, Dog.
That's excellent.
So that was my little Coolio story. He really was lovely. He was a really very, very nice man. And I only had like half an hour on the phone with him. You know, I'm sure his friends are good.
But you got to see his full self. You know, you got to see a little peek in behind the curtain as well. It's cool.
If I ever meet his brother, I'll be like, I heard you getting fucking bitch slapped.
I wouldn't do that.
I'm totally going to do that. Yeah. So that's my little Coolio story. Did you ever meet Coolio?
I'd never met Coolio, but I'd be pretty confident here? I know all the words to Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah, it's a hell of a tune. Interestingly, the score for Dangerous Minds was done by two of my favorite artists, Wendy and Lisa. And when you say Wendy and Lisa to people, they're like, they don't sound like bimbos at all. But if you're not familiar with the work of Wendy and Lisa, they were members of The Revolution and were songwriters with Prince for some of Prince and The Revolution's music. Then they went off and I don't know how you say this. They went off and had a solo career together, but they started doing movie scores and film scores and stuff. They did the score for the whole of the Heroes series.
But that's where the money is though, if you're a musician, right? Doing like the jingles for ads and stuff for movies and stuff, right?
Well, interesting you say that, because Mara Carlisle, the artist who supplied our intro music, she, one of her songs was used on an IKEA advert.
Ka-ching.
Well, I don't think she's retired yet.
Yeah, but...
it's a good ad, though. It's the one where they drop the cats through the ceiling.
Don't remember that one.
Well, you might not have got it in Holland.
It's a good point. I don't really watch TV either, so...
Yeah, that's fair. Also, the relationship with adverts is very different these days, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they're more like, you know, if you think of, like, I've really got to go out of my way to watch a TV ad.
Well, think about what a fucking big deal it's been in the news about Netflix changing their price models.
But it's, A, they should have done it sooner. And B, yeah, I don't know. It's not actually that big a deal. Because it's still like,
the world's media.
No, but that's just everybody bitching about Netflix, right? They've, you know, it's your classic kind of, they've had such a good run that if you can talk about anything negative, like if you're anybody but any media owner that's not Netflix, if you can pile into Netflix in any sort of negativity, that's good for your business. Because, you know, Netflix is completely competing for the attention of everybody. And effectively, everyone's a competitor. You know, so if you look at like...
But people are like companies, businesses, are so reticent about changing pricing models. There's this perception that... Like, Royal Mail's a really good example in Britain, right? So Royal Mail now does, it just does postal deliveries. It used to run the post offices as well, but that's now Post Office Counters Limited, or has been Post Office Counters Limited for 20 odd years. And Royal Mail has a huge pension deficit. Why the fuck would Royal Mail wind up with a pension deficit? Doesn't make any sense, because for decades they kept the price of a stamp below 30p. Well, anybody with half a brain knows that that was an absolute steal. You can post something and it can get to the other end of the country, usually within a day, for less than... They should have been a quid years ago, decades ago. It would have still been an absolute bargain and nobody would have minded, pretty much. But anyway, what do I know?
Would that have closed the pension? Typically, the pension deficit stuff's more a case of you've got unionized workers on defined benefit pension schemes. And
yeah, but if there is not enough money in the pension pot to do that, and because I believe effectively Royal Mail was run as a not for profit,
which makes sense. Did you read about they introduced that IT system, and then a load of postmasters were accused of fraud.
Yeah, it's awful.
And like, it was suicide. Like, it was just horrific kind of how they treated the postmasters.
My sister was a postmaster for quite a while. And she was like, do you know what? Fuck this. It's way too stressful.
And then it turned out just the IT system was wrong.
But why would being a postmaster be stressful? You know, it shouldn't be. It's a real community job. It should be one of those things where they're one of the more respected members of society rather than Jesus Christ. And the postal staff as well, certainly in the UK, they're like constantly, you've got to do it quicker, you've got to do it quicker. You want me to cover a whole town or some rural area, which is going to take me 45 minutes just to drive to. But anyway, what do I know? So what have you been up to? Anything?
No, just busy, just head down, getting the work done.
Being a busy executive.
Trying to be.
But I'm sure you're aware of this, but this podcast is sponsored by Sporting Tech.
I am aware of it, and they're fantastic.
But only for the next 2 weeks.
Sacre bleu.
I know. There's an opportunity there for somebody, I think. But who?
It's a great question. Who's on our wish list?
Gambling.com.
Too much.
Industrial awesome. Light and Gambling.
That would be the perfect move. It would just be meme-tastic if they did that. They just embraced it.
Would I have to stop calling them? I don't know. Well, I think one of the companies does their PR They've got, well, let's just say they're keeping tabs on us.
Good. As they should. As they should. Keep them on their toes.
Who else would be good? Maybe we could get an operator. Nah, not ahead of a likely recession.
Look, obviously, you know, we've currently got a great sponsor. So step one Step one is to, you know, we've delivered amazing value over the last number of months. Have the renewal conversation. That's the obvious one. And then, you know, other B2B suppliers in the industry, you know, can we give us a shout? We've got amazing reach across the industry's executive ranks.
It's true. So
we do.
Hey, why don't you find a sponsor for us? I'm assuming that they don't renew.
Oh, they look, I'm convinced they'll renew.
I'm not. I wouldn't.
We're great.
We are. Yeah.
Ah, look, it's peanuts. It's peanuts. Should I find? Okay, let me see if I can find a sponsor.
But try the ones we got first. hey, did you know that we've got Steve Ruddock on this episode?
Not only do we have Steve Ruddock, but I've also got a new colleague in Steve Ruddock. How exciting is that?
What?
I know. The big announcement last week. Steve has joined the gambling.com group.
What the fuck? The world's gone mad.
I know. Getting to work with smart people is one of my favorite things in the world. And Steve's one of the smartest.
I've only just started doing that myself. And I do. I also like it.
Oh, it's a game changer. Absolutely game changer.
Huh. It's great when you don't have to explain the words you use to people.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of people who can do a better job than me. So it's like, I enjoy it. So yeah,
unfortunately for me, there's a lot of those.
So yeah, we got Steve on, and he's wonderful, and we talk about lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, we do. So you should probably, you know, if you've listened this far, you should probably continue listening and listen to that bit with Steve.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Do you suffer with male pattern baldness? It's nothing to be ashamed of. But unlucky. Maybe if your parents had chosen sporting tech, things would be different. But they didn't, and they're not. Oh well. But you could make the right choice for your kids. Sporting Tech. Think of the children. Moving on to our first and only guest of this episode, we welcome the freshly minted, the, dare I say it, hypersexualized Steve Ruddock. Steve, welcome.
What's going on, guys?
That is a great question, and one that we've got for you, because you've just started a new position, and you're now in the office next to Fintan or something, I don't know.
He's already claimed the top bunk. It's outrageous.
You're his bitch now, Finn.
Yeah, so I'm at gambling.com group now. So my time at American Affiliate has come to an end, which was kind of predestined after they dissolved wagers.com. So yeah, I was hung on there for a couple months, and now I'm at GDC.
Whoa.
Congratulations. It's a great company. I'd highly recommend it.
Fucking kiss ass.
I've done the corporate trend. Ooh, that price looks undervalued. Everyone should buy some shares.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer accidentally breaks the ant farm in space. And they cut to the live feed from the shuttle, and you just get this enormous ant head in the camera kind of thing. And Kent Brockman, it cuts back to the studio, and Kent Brockman just says, "I, for one, would like to welcome our new insect overlords." I mean, that's basically where we are morally and spiritually, isn't it?
With the rest of us, like as a trusted TV personality, I can help you round up civilians for your sugar mines. just instantly selling out. It's just beautiful.
Speaking of which, Steve Fenton, I'm just kidding. I work for a corporate overlord. It's good.
Just a moment of silence there while you reflect on that, isn't it?
Yeah. If only people could see what I was doing. I was looking down with my hands folded in my lap, as though in prayer.
Just a single tear rolling down his cheek.
It was a lot like Sinead O'Connor in the Nothing Compares to You video. The only significant difference, I mean, we've got the same haircut. The only significant difference is that she's got brown eyes and mine are blue.
That's the only significant difference between you and Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah, basically.
I think the merchandise t-shirt's writing itself. It'd be like the headshot of John, and it'd be like, you know, the Sinead O'Connor of the gambling industry. Could work.
Tearing up a picture of some...
of the Pope, yay. Or like some, you know...
Sheldon Adelson
Wonder
picture.
CEO or something. Yeah.
I'm thinking Steve Wynn.
Yeah. Good work.
I've got nothing against Steve Wynn, but, you know...
A lot of people do.
Well,
a lot of
people have
some issues with him.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't there. It's all hearsay until it's proven. Although sometimes it's like proven in court or not proven in court. And then in America, you can still have a civil suit, can't you?
Correct.
And the civil suit will succeed where the criminal suit doesn't. It's like fucking bizarre.
Yeah. So criminal is beyond reasonable doubt. And the civil suit is just basically... you got to be 51% thinking that they may have done it. So it's a little lower threshold. You just got to be like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I might have done that.
But you can also then just like pay a fine. Like here, like there was somebody the other day, not gambling related, but it was related to the opioid stuff. So Walmart and what's like all the pharmacy, big pharmacy groups and stuff. Paid out billions in fines with no admission of guilt.
Yeah, that's typically what happens. So if you're going to lose a civil case, it's usually a settlement, generally, and then each side agrees to non-disclosures and they don't admit anything. But yeah, we're giving you billions of dollars, which is the admission
of
guilt.
We're just doing it.
Yeah.
We like you, and we'd like you to have some money.
Yeah, we have lots of them here.
I mean, that's how I've always been towards my insect overlords. You know, that's how I feel they've always been to me. We like you, John. We'd like to just give you some. It's all about the loyalty. So, Steve, we did actually get you on here for a reason, not just to find out about your new insect overlords. What?
You can't say that. You're lovely.
I'm sure they are, but until they sponsor this podcast, Fenton,
That's a good point.
Yeah, they've only got 50% of people on board here, and they need 51.
Fair enough.
I mean, that 1% is cheap, but, you know, I'm just saying. We wanted to ask you some stuff because we were thinking, who can we talk to about this? Who would have an opinion? And we couldn't think of anybody. So
no, I'm just kidding.
I wanted to talk about the announcement that I say announcement. It wasn't really an official announcement, was it? But the discovery last week about Sands and their online strategy. Well, I mean, it can't be as bonkers as it sounds. There's got to be more to it than meets the eye. What's going on?
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons for Sands' online gambling positions. It's been, I mean, they've been easily the most anti-online gambling company up until about a year and a half ago. So it's not a crazy thing that they're now shifting course back to their previous thoughts on it. So I think there's like... probably four or five things happening here. The first is just historically they've been against gambling, so they're pretty late to the party. Come late to the party, you're going to pay a lot more to get in the door. So I think they're looking at it as, listen, we're there's really no space for us. They would have to spend an inordinate amount of money to compete in the U.S. market. And I just don't think they're going to do that. Their online strategy to begin with from a year and a half ago was simply to be more of a B2B provider. They weren't really looking to be a customer-facing brand. So I don't think it's that much of a pullback. It's just kind of a slight change of, okay, so this isn't really working out the way we wanted it to. I think what I saw was their investments so far were in the single-digit millions. So it wasn't like they had invested a lot of money in this. The other thing is they're probably watching everyone else struggle outside of a couple of people. So they're looking at it going, okay, so even the people that are doing well and gaining market share and doing things, they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars. So what is the potential here for us? And I really think that one of the things that everybody loses sight of in these quick switches, whether it's Churchill Downs pulling out or whatever, it's like you can always buy your way back in at any point. You're one acquisition away from being a major player. Yeah. So it's not, Sands has the money, but they don't have the money now. Macau's a mess with all of the COVID restrictions and things going on there. I think they lost $1 billion or they're forecasted to lose $1 billion this year in Macau. So it's something that maybe they're looking at it now and going, now is just not the right time. Let's let things settle down a bit. And then when other people start pulling out or selling their products, we can just hop back in and buy one of them up and then relaunch under our brand or whichever brand they choose. I mean, the stock's gone down. It's been halved since 2018, I think. It's gone from like 80 to 40. COVID hasn't been kind to Sands. They're still very well invested in Macau. They have nothing in the U.S. at the moment. They sold all their U.S. assets. So there's not much going on there. I think if you take all those things together, I think it's more of a let's just pull back to where we were before and wait.
Yeah. That makes sense. And like you said, like buying assets, you know, DraftKings is what, 30% cheaper than it was last week? Just on that one announcement. So there's definitely going to be stuff up for sale or more. There's still clearly obviously a lot more deals to come. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And if you look at some of the, if you look at some of the companies that were gung ho on sports betting, Bally's, a few others, they're looking at it now and they're going, okay, we're actually going to pull back now. So these companies that created what I thought was a pretty good portfolio for what they were trying to do now are just standing behind. They're waiting at the back of the line, letting FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, Caesars go ahead. And I think they're just kind of biding their time as well. But there might be a point in time where they're like, you know what? We don't need this. We're regional casino operator. Penn is a little different. I think they have a little more invested into their online space. But some of these companies, Bally's has a huge land-based casino portfolio now. So it's not, and Sands is always the same way. They were more into the integrated resort type of thing. They're not looking for this very diversified portfolio of gambling options. They know what they do. They do it well, and that's what they do.
Just to jump in there, do you think for like Sands and Bally and stuff, if more states legalize online casino, the stance could change?
Yeah, I think that's the key to it all is how do we get this to actually, how do we make this a product that we're familiar with so that sports betting is a product most people are not familiar with. And yeah, you might have a sports book, but it's a loss leader. It's just something, it's an amenity you have at your casino. I think when you look at casino, they understand. They understand how to market it, whether it's online or retail. People are generally looking for the same thing, especially like a slot player. A slot player is an isolated person in a casino, and they're an isolated person online. It's not that much of a difference. So that I think once they get into that and move away from sports betting, I think sports betting right now is the it's not the person putting their toe in the door. It's the person kicking open the door in the U.S. Just to try to get online moving. There was some hope DFS would do that, but didn't pan out. And now sports betting is kind of picking up that pace. But again, we have 35 sports betting states now, and we still only have 6 casino states. And I really think anybody's only talking about Indiana right now as far as a possibility next year. So it's still several years away. So if they are biding their time and saying, okay, we're going to get in at the right point, then that would make a little bit more sense.
I've just been thinking, I mean, it's not sort of directly related, but thinking about companies and their sort of companies that have almost slightly maybe unusual or contrary approaches, if you like. So like you say, you know, Sands, they didn't get into this early. And we were talking with Jennifer on the last episode about about Caesars and how Caesars hadn't gone into Macau and how that seemed like a shit idea for so long, but actually now they look like they're having a whale of a time. And Wynn as an example of how that can seesaw. And I was just thinking while you were talking just now, I was thinking about, this is slightly oblique, but I was thinking about industrial light and gambling. The artist formerly known as SG. And I was thinking when Shufflemaster was an independent company. Shufflemaster was acquired by Bally. Bally was acquired by Scientific Games. And the one thing that they never got their heads around, and I might be wrong, I mean, maybe this has changed, but as far as I'm aware, it hasn't, was the value of the intellectual property that they bought when they bought Shufflemaster. And I think quite a few years ago, somebody was trying to explain to me why this was so problematic. And if I remember correctly, it was because they had this arguably the most valuable intellectual property in the gambling space, in the games, right? Internationally recognized names, and they hadn't leveraged them online. Right. And the reasoning with this was that all these websites were already using this intellectual property, essentially, and they couldn't go after everybody and shut them down. And I just thought, but you've kind of only got to stay on top of that. You know, your first couple of years doing that are going to be horrendous. But you've only got to get on top of it once. And then you have the most valuable intellectual property online. And I don't believe they ever did that, which I appreciate is problematic. I appreciate it would have been difficult, but it would not have been impossible. And we're talking like the biggest names in table games, some of which are big revenue earners online, and they're not making money for them, which I find really odd. But anyway, probably sidestep there. But, you know, if you two know it different and I'm totally wide of the mark, maybe it's changed. Anybody?
Well, I think that goes for life in general. I think every big corporation you come across that. So you, I always likened it to when you see like a CEO change. So you have somebody who just kills it. They're up and coming company and their CEO is great at M&A. And they're just killing it and they're acquiring all the right people. But then that CEO doesn't quite get how to then put all those pieces together, or doesn't quite get how to scale up the company at that point. So you need a different CEO. You need somebody with a different skill set. So that you can't do everything, right? That was on the SNL Jeopardy thing. You can't do everything. You have to know what you're good at. You have to know what you do. I think you see a lot of companies now. So for several years, especially around the sports betting boom, 2018, 2019, you saw everybody just trying to bring everything in-house. Everybody was going away from the third party and all of that, and they're trying to bring everything in-house. They're trying to do everything. And I think what you're seeing now is that maybe it's better off leaving that thing to somebody else. So maybe there's a, you know, Cambi lost a lot of customers because everybody's bringing everything in-house. But Cambi's really good at what they do. And they did that one thing. Anytime I talk to them, they were always very clear that, no, we do this. We're not looking to be an operator. We're not looking to get into casino, at least at the moment, that this is what we do. So you focus on that and you have a team that understands it. Once you start bringing in other pieces to things, everything can go sideways. So it's one thing if you, very few people in those positions are willing to rely on outside experts. So they tend to think I did it with this, so I can do it with that. And I think what you're seeing now is, I mean, to your point, companies selling off their lottery divisions, companies selling off different things, focusing on just casino, selling off sports betting pieces. You had all these people bringing everything into one conglomerate group. And now you're seeing those pieces start to fracture and go apart again a little bit. I mean, it's everything. And you look at the early trends and you kind of say, oh, wait, why is that company doing that when everybody else is doing the opposite? And I think you start seeing little hints that maybe people are realizing, OK, we bit off a lot here and it's just not working. You also get a lot of redundancies when you do that. I mean, your casino and your sports betting people, there's a lot of redundancies in there.
Yeah, and I agree, because I think like a lot of big corporates go through those cycles where it's consolidate, and then spin off. And it's typically a signal to the market that, you know, it's either a change in management team. And so it's the new, like you said, it's the new strategy. Or it's just like, we actually don't know what we're doing and we're just going to, you know, but we're looking busy and we've got something for the quarterly announcement, which shows a bit of activity. And not just the gambling industry, every industry goes through this. Look at like, you know, the massive conglomerates in the US back in the junk bond days and all this kind of stuff, right? So it's just activity for activity's sake a lot of the time. But I think John's right as well. I think there's so much land-based intellectual property that still hasn't been brought online. And it's such a, like, one I was reading about Sony Studios recently, and they're taking an arms dealer approach, literally what they've called it, an arms dealer approach to online streaming. So they will just sell their content to all the different streaming platforms and let the streaming platforms kill each other, acquiring customers. But Sony can just take a step back, not get involved in the arms race, where if I was sitting on, I don't know, Buffalo Gold or whatever the slot game is, just bring that online and everybody's going to beat down your door to get that game or whatever the game is. And you can just like participate fully in the online boom without the headaches.
Yeah, there's no risk.
There's a lot. Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, and just take your small slice of every transaction and bish bosh, right? It's super easy. So here's one. I had a thing for you as well. So, over the last few days, the Foxbet Flutter court case seems to have hit a resolution finally, and very much in favor of Flutter. So I think if Foxbet want to buy the 16% of FanDuel, they've got to pay $3 billion or something in that range, which would actually get you a massive chunk of Flutter instead if you wanted to. So does this mean Flutter IPO is on the way? Not Flutter IPO, FanDuel IPO?
The court case, that was the chatter before the court case. Court case obviously stopped that. We'll see. Again, I think it depends on timing. If they think that it's the right thing to do now, or if they think it's the right thing to do in 18 months or 3 years, whichever they feel is the right time to launch it. I mean, with the prices of gambling stocks right now, is it the time you want to float your company out there to see what people will pay for it? I don't know. This is a little above my pay grade. I'm not the biggest investor in the world. I follow the market, but if you ask me what the hell's going on, I have very little. I don't know. if you want to know why a stock price went down all of a sudden, I can tell you what's going on in the industry, but I can't tell you why that stock price went down and another one didn't.
So one theory I had was, if you look at, let's take a DraftKings versus a FanDuel, right? So the classic oligopoly between the two of them. If you're FanDuel part of Flutter, which has a thriving international business, it's quite easy for Flutter to fund FanDuel internally and not be exposed to very rapidly rising interest rates. Plus massive economies of scale across the bigger group and knowledge sharing and all that kind of stuff. So in a way, I think it'd be better. Like you could see a FanDuel and a BetMGM, which have got the big international partners or the backing, to be able to just ride this out and do better, where the likes of a DraftKings suffering, unless they get the Disney deal or whatever's been rumored. But I think it's quite interesting as well with Foxbet, because clearly they were looking to, I think the Murdochs were looking to merge again, Fox and the Wall Street, like the media business or the print business and stuff, back into a big conglomerate. And you would easily see them replicating what they did in the UK with Sky Bet, with a Fox Bet. Like that was the obvious play for a long time. And it's been like, why hasn't this happened? But I think with this deal, with the court ruling now, you're kind of like, oh, I wonder how that, I'm really curious how that changes the business case for the merger. Because you would imagine there's a massive line item called gambling revenue kind of just running straight through the cash flow forecast. So I thought that was an interesting thing. And then I just can't stop thinking of Succession either. And just like every time the Murdochs come up and thing, like I'm like, oh, which one's he? Is that the brother? Is that the son? Is that the first son or the second son?
I can't remember. Well, it's also, I mean, Flutter, FanDuel in the U.S. is winning. So is now the time to disrupt anything? Or do we just stay the course for now? Because, I mean, you're winning. Whatever you're doing, it's working as far as market share is concerned. So do you want to just suddenly spin that off? And like you said, now you don't really have that backing behind you. You can't say, okay, well, we're taking this revenue we're making in this part of the world and investing it in our America's business. You're looking at, okay, our America's business is its own thing. Because it's just that unfortunately for FanDuel and DraftKings, they're kind of stuck as US brands. Like they built themselves up as DFS companies in the US. They have a little bit of an imprint around the world just because people understand what they are now, because they're doing so well in the US. But I think it would take a lot for them to start displacing global brands in other sectors.
It's the same challenge the European brands had when they went to America. It's the localization of sportsbook particularly is huge. Like it's a different product. I don't like DraftKings has had a UK presence for a while, I think. They're in somewhere and it's like it's tumbleweed stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I don't see, but then why would you as well? Like there's so much opportunity in America. Why would you care about going through the UK licensing process and all the requirements that come with that when it's the equivalent of a couple of states going live in America?
Well, you see
so I think there's,
I was going to say, you see their, I don't want to call them shortcomings, but you see their limitations in Ontario. They don't have the same, it's the same thing. Everybody says, oh, well, why is FanDuel? Well, their software is awesome. Software is great. Well, it's the brand too. DraftKings and FanDuel basically cornered the market on sports bettors from 2006-ish on, once DFS was there. So once these companies went online, I can't remember exactly when, it might've been like 2008, 09. I'm not really up on the history of DFS anymore, but they had a decade to just build a database that actually works. I mean, I remember when the poker companies came back and everybody was like, oh, we can't let Poker Stars in, can't do this. And I'm like, Party Poker's got a database too. And then that very succinctly, somebody told me at the time, well, yeah, they said our email addresses are AOL and Hotmail. And PokerStars is Gmail. So he said that we have Yahoo, a database of Yahoo email addresses. So it's like, oh, yeah, okay. So yeah, 2-3 years in this business is massive. So, I mean, all these companies, yeah, they get a lot of land-based player bases that they can pull from, but that already online, already young male demographic that is, it's not gambling, but they like to wager money on sporting events because they like to wager money with through DFS. They like to entry fee, right? They entry fee DFS events. They know these customers are already willing to spend money. So it's a perfect database. And it's, I remember back in when DraftKings first announced that they were going to be starting their own sports book. And my colleague, Dustin Gauker at the time was like, how are they beating these long existing sports books in this market? He couldn't, like, it was a thing of his on Twitter. I don't understand how these European companies are letting somebody who's never run a sports book before beat them. And the whole thing is the database. I mean, if we open the exact same restaurant, but you're out in the middle of the woods and I'm in downtown, it doesn't matter. My restaurant could be shit and yours could be incredible, but people can't get to it. So I think a lot of people underestimate just the value of, you said the value of the intellectual property. I think people underestimate the value of a really good database of players. It's already curated. It's a curated database of people who will wager money on sports.
They've taken out a credit card. They've put money into your system. They've had an experience. They've, you know, maybe won. And these kind of things. So yeah, no, I agree. I think it's super obvious what's going to play out there.
Of course, you agree with your colleague.
Solidarity.
Company talking points came out this morning. Yeah.
Oh, you got the memo as well. Okay, cool.
Bastards.
And here's a list of companies that owe me money. Funny.
I am horrified by your collusion and your palliness, and it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, for the record though, if anybody from gambling.com is listening, I'm very cheap.
They've heard the episode where you said you're unemployable. I think you've that's what you put out there into the universe, mate.
And this is what
I get stricken from the Wayback Machine. Take that one off.
Damn it. You know, you reap what you sow. Yeah, what can I say? Yeah. You know, don't shit where you eat, etc. Gentlemen, is there anything that we haven't covered?
We got election day in the U.S. today.
Oh, is that what they call the midterms?
Yes. So,
what does that actually affect?
This is my second day on the job, and I got the day off, which was fun to find out yesterday. It's a holiday in the U.S., I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Fun surprise yesterday. So election day, we have a couple of, I think there's probably 3 or 4 states that sports betting future hangs in the balance today. So any of the states that were close last year, couple of votes the other way and suddenly the no becomes a yes. So you have Missouri, North Carolina failed by 1 vote to get mobile betting last year. So be interesting to see how the elections shake out today. I'll probably next couple of days go through the list of lawmakers who voted no on sports betting and yes, and then go back and see if they won or lost their election. So very, very difficult thing to go through, but I think it's pretty important on the local level. You see it, how things are going. Another big thing, Kentucky, their sports betting champion was primaried and lost. So it'll be interesting to see who picks up his mantle going forward. And if anybody does, he had the greatest line I've ever heard at a conference one time. He said, the reason it didn't pass is because you can't swing a dead cat in Kentucky without hitting a preacher. And I was like, "Ooh, that's an interesting Kentucky saying you got there." So his thing is, you got to get the religious institutions either tamped down or somehow on board with the idea of it. So it'll be interesting. I think after today, there'll be a pretty good autopsy going forward for the week.
Nice. One thing I have just thought to ask you, Stephen, listeners to some of your previous episodes might know this. Other people might not, because we are just doing audio. Your cap collection behind you, have you got a gambling.com cap yet?
No, I don't.
I'll send you the link to the swag store. We'll get you hooked up.
Swag store. I think I saw something in my email, like a coupon thing for the swag store. Yeah.
You're joking me.
I had like 26 emails in there, so I didn't get through all of them yesterday. Apparently there's some HR stuff I have to do as well, like some videos and such.
Some companies do have some really good swag. And I appreciate, I probably said this before, but when I was working at QVC, their branded merchandise was awesome. I've got a QVC Frisbee somewhere.
Well, Steve will also be able to get the bonus finder swag from the swag store. Mm-hmm. So it's not, we're in there. We're in there.
Yeah, maybe don't waste your money, Steve.
I'll have a look.
Unless they do bonus finder toilet paper.
No,
you're right. That was a low blow. I'm sorry, Fintan.
It's okay.
But, you know, everybody who's gainfully employed, I mean, obviously I've got work, but, you know. Oh, yeah. Anybody that's listening that's from a company that's just got a bit too much money at the moment, we are looking for sponsors. Although at the moment we are sponsored by Sporting Tech. So if anybody has any iGaming platform requirements, they can certainly help. Oh. You got any Sporting Tech hats?
No, I don't actually.
But neither do we, John. You need to call your guy. What's the story?
That is controversial, Fintan.
I have a box of old gambling hats from their stores somewhere in the house. And I have some very cryptologic hats. I don't, what was that? What was the name of that? Their top site?
Oh, Chili Poker or something?
No, it wasn't Chili. It was, they had like, it was like, they had like Caribbean Sun, and it was like three poker sites on the network. Can't remember the name of it, but I have that around somewhere. I was like one seat away in a free roll from a main event seat one time.
I was collecting some pens. Pens. I was collecting some pens at G2E.
And what'd you get?
I think, I see some of these aren't from G2E, but I only just got them back from my smashed up car. So I got some Galaxis ones when I was at IGB. And they were quite nice. The Ainsworth pen from G2E, that's quite nice. It's quite chunky. And it sort of feels nice in your hand. But it's not as heavy as it looks, which is disappointing.
Evolution my favorite pen.
The Mercury pen, look at that. Look at that. It's a beautiful sort of cyan color. And it's got a quite peculiar, almost a hand-hewn design. Even though it's, you know, plastic. There's Alpha Street. Look at that. There's a shiny gold Alpha Street one. That's nice. This is another Mercury one, which is, you know, it's like a technical pencil. Oh, but it's a pen. Oh, so I was fooled. Quick Custom Intelligence is sort of a burnished copper sort of thing going on.
John, just because we can see the pens doesn't mean the listeners can see
them. But that's why I'm describing them. It's like... Hang on, I've got two Alpha Street pens. What a day!
I'm imagining the customer thinking he doesn't really have a thing of pens, but he does. He has like this massive.
He's got a big basket of pens.
And also, I've actually got five Alpha Street pens.
Oh, someone got greedy.
Going by the
booth. Well, maybe they were just on the edge, and I was just like,
I much prefer the branded stress balls. I'm a stress ball guy. I like a squeezy.
Wow. What's your favorite type of freebie, Steve?
Oh, my favorite type of, so my least favorite type of freebie is like those little USB.
Yeah, because it's 2022,
yeah,
right?
We've all got no, the nobody cloud. Uses, but everybody still has them. I don't understand that one. Not a big lanyard guy. Could do without the lanyards. Yeah, pens are pretty pretty functional. I do like a good pen, but
I like a Moleskine notebook.
Yeah,
a proper Moleskine ones.
Yeah. So 888 one time had some great little journals. Well, that now we're getting into like they're bribing you. When you get up to the hoodies, they're just technically bribing you.
Yeah.
I got a crystal tumbler once. But then it had like, I won't mention the brand, but it had the brand kind of like etched into it. Yeah. And you're like, well, I can never use this.
I have a rose gold bar set I got from somebody once.
Wow.
Bar set? Oh, yeah, for, like the mixer, tumblers and stuff.
Yeah, the mixer.
Nice.
And
the, nice.
That's yeah. Nice. I generally get quite shit freebies.
Monogrammed bathrobe? With my initials?
Fucking hell. I was on somebody's booth the one day, and I'd gotten in the day before, I think. And when I was at the airport, I saw somebody wearing some of their company branded Bose noise cancelling headphones on the plane. And I'm like, well, I've got to ask. And so I'm on their booth, and I, you know, it probably sounds a bit cheeky to say, like, yeah. Because they do kind of offer you, oh, we've got a little bag of things for you. And I'm like, oh, well, that's very generous. Thank you very much. And you open up and you're like, where are my fucking headphones?
Yeah. Like, the Academy
we don't
Awards.
Do headphones. I'm like, how am I? They said, no, we don't do headphones. I'm like, you definitely do. Because I saw somebody on the plane wearing them. They're like, well, I haven't seen them and I haven't got a pair. I'm like, well, you know, you might want to have a word with your insect overlords. but gambling.com would be a terrific sponsor for this podcast, I think.
Yeah, but then I'd have to, you know, then I'd have to have somebody listen to it, and then I'd get feedback, and it's better to just leave it alone, John. Leave it alone. There's plenty of sponsors out there.
Are there though, Fintan? I'm not sure. I'm not
there
sure.
There is tons of sponsors. Well,
could you get us some then?
Okay.
Thanks. Well,
I'll have my people call other people. We'll sort that.
Brilliant. Yeah. So, Steve, presumably you'll have people soon as well.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm horrible. I'm one of those people who, like, I won't even, like, say, hey, can I get a free hotel room? Like, I don't. People always say, oh, if you ever need to stay, so it's like, okay. But I have trouble asking. My next door neighbor was in the hotel and hospitality business for years. Like he trained like the VPs of most of the hotels in Vegas and things like that. And I didn't even ask him, and he found out I was going to Vegas, and he's like, oh, I'm going to call my buddy. Where are you staying? And I told him, and he called him up, and I ended up in like this 1800 square foot room that I had no use for whatsoever.
It had to drag had you like, out. I'm never leaving. This is perfect.
It had like two bathrooms that were like bigger than my living room. I was like, what is this? Like, who needs this while they're here? But yeah.
There are many advantages to two bathrooms in a hotel suite if you're in there yourself. And I probably don't need to go into what those advantages are, but you know, nobody takes air freshener with them to a hotel, do they?
Yeah, you destroy one bathroom, you get the other one to back up. It's my backup bathroom.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Steve, thank you very, very much for joining us today. Congratulations on your new position.
Thank you.
With gambling.com. What are you doing specifically for your new employers?
So, my technical title is iGaming analyst. So I'll be doing some content. I'll also be trying to do a little bit
analyzing stuff.
Yeah, I'll probably do that. Do a little bit of press outreach, things like that. similar to what I've been doing. I like the team. Brilliant. I like, just got a company is very, very hands-on and on board with everything. So seems good.
Fabulous. Well, I hope it all goes well and that you don't have to work with Fenton.
I'm in a completely different building. It's totally safe.
Unless he starts next to me at my desk at home, I don't think that will be a problem. It'd be funny if he knocks on the door.
We'll do the podcast one day, and he'll disappear from his pain, and he'll just reappear in yours.
I'm here to share the work.
That would be funny. Yeah, and budge up.
But Steve, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Anytime.
Thanks, Steve.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.